Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Pastor Gary texted me and he says, "Hey, do you got Wednesday? Do you have something for Wednesday?" or something like that. And I said, "Yes." I was expecting it was on my radar, but I hadn't got a message, you know, which is no big deal because it's God that puts those things in you. You know, you just focus on walking with him every day. And, you know, when he wants you to say something will come up in your heart to share. So, you know, the scripture that says, don't worry about what you'll say before people, you know, or the kings, or you get locked up and you have to appear before people. And, you know, don't ever, you know, God has every contingency plan for every situation in your life. So you never have to wonder, what if this happens? What if that's happened? You know, you never have to think about those things because God will make a way for you when it comes to those spiritual things. So Mark 11, Pastor Gary and Pastor Shelley have probably heard this verse 10,000 times. So Mark 11, verse 23, this is Gospel of Mark. Mark was supposed to be a gospel that was written to the Gentiles. It was written in such a way that it seemed very short and concise, went through the whole life of Christ. Just lots of good things in here. But verse 20 says, in the morning, okay, Jesus, as they went along, Jesus and his disciples, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you have cursed is withered." Okay, verse 22, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." You know, I think so often we look at this scripture and we think, well, this is our special weapons scripture. We put this in a special box and we put this on the side. And while if the devil ever messes with our lives, we're going to open up Mark 11, 23 and 24 and use it. But I would tell you that this scripture is for everyday life. Because one thing is we rule and reign with Christ. And so there are things that come at us. You know, maybe they're not life crises every day or every week or every month where we can use these scriptures, or every year, whatever. But there are things that happen in our lives and people we affect every day that this scripture we can use to apply in our lives. You know, so, you know, when we're praying for people, Lord, I just pray that John may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I'm speaking forth God's word with faith that God is going to minister to John or my family or whatever situation. Lord, just soften their hearts. I'm speaking words that can minister to people that the Holy Spirit can use. Because it doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, disciples, just wait until God speaks to that mountain. God can move that mountain. Just wait till he does it." You know, that scripture doesn't say that. You would think God has set this up that the things we do bring glory to him. You know, physically, spiritually, we cannot push a physical mountain out of the way. We cannot heal anybody. We cannot do anything miraculous. What we can do is believe and trust God and do what he says. Our belief is like the fuse that goes into the dynamite. You know, we're trusting in the Lord that he's going to do this. In fact, We're trusting in him that it's already done. It's already accomplished through the work of the cross. Are you forgiven, or are you waiting for forgiveness? Do you have peace, or are you waiting for peace? See, all these things are yours. They're yours right now. That victory is yours. You're not waiting for that. Oh God, if only I could have the victory. If only I could get this. You know, you have it right now. And the Holy Spirit will help you to understand that as you do those things that he's called you to do. You know, you might say, well, I'm not in the ministry, or I'm not preaching the Bible, or I'm not in contact with people and doing things. Well, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the things that God tells you to do every day, go to work, be a witness at work, do a good job, you know, be kind to this person, you know, buy this person a coffee, you know, walk over there and you just all of a sudden have a word, and you just say, you know, I see you're kind of down today, but I just want to encourage you. You know, you got a friend here at work. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you those things, and as you do that, bang, the Holy Spirit's there. The power and presence of God is there to minister to that person. You know, that's what Mark 11, 23 and 24 is about, is you say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say. So let's look at that. Let's look at an example. Let's turn to Exodus 14. All right. We're going back in time. And the people of Israel, they have great numbers. And they're moving out of Egypt. They're changing address. They're changing address to the promised land. Okay, so they've come out of Egypt, and lo and behold, they're in front of actually a sea. You know, they're, what is that called? The Aquaba? Is that what that is? That sea of where they cross over? But anyway, it's something they can't physically, like, swim across. You know, you got a whole nation of people. Okay. And guess who's behind you on your back is Pharaoh's army. Okay. So Moses is there. And verse 14:13, it says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. Isn't that something? The Lord is always telling you, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Okay. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Okay. So this is Moses talking to the people. Okay, about the Lord. Okay. Then it says, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses. Okay, so now the Lord's talking to Moses. Okay, and he says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Okay, so isn't this interesting? It doesn't say, okay, Moses, just listen to me, listen to my words. I'm parting the Red Sea now, okay, and the things. But it's like Moses is involved in this process. He says, God says to Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on the dry ground. So in a way, it's like Moses' staff was like Mark 11, 23. It was like he stretched it out. It made no sense to stretch out that staff. No sense. What's a staff? How's that going to divide the water? What divided the water was was God's word telling him to do it, and it was faith. Moses did it because he knew that what God said was true. And so when he raised that staff, it divided. Okay, that's where we are. It's like we're trusting. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to do something weird. He's living inside of you, the third person of the Godhead, and it says he's a teacher, he's a helper, he's with you, and he's going to instruct you and show you what to do. He's not going to say, hey, Phil, I hope you can handle your life for 25 minutes. I'm going to take a coffee and donut break. Kind of goes away. Comes back 20 minutes later. Phil's dead. What happened? Of course, he can't answer because he's dead. But no, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He always has the things that you need to say. If you walk into a situation and you don't know what to say, maybe you shouldn't say anything. You know, maybe you should just wait. And, you know, realize that whatever scenario you're in and whoever you're coming in contact with, God loves and cares for those people more than you do. So just relax. You know, relax in God. That's what it means to being led by the Spirit. You're not in a rush. You're not in a hurry. You know, when the message comes in, when the information comes, then you act on it and do it. And that's faith, you know, because you're doing the little and God's doing the much. The little is just obeying him. You know, the little is just raising that staff. I'm raising a staff because God told me to raise it. And wow, that Red Sea just pulled apart. Can you imagine just being there and Moses just raising that? And just like the Israelites standing there and seeing that sea part, and it's like their mouths are just like, I can't believe what happened. Moses didn't say that. He believed what God had to say. And so when the supernatural does happen, you don't have to respond by, wow, I don't believe that happened. I can't believe it. I can't believe it that God's so good. Well, believe it. God is good. God can find a tennis bracelet and put it back in your jewelry box. Amazing. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 18. It's the story of the Israelites finally made it through the promised land, but they had to take a 40-year detour, and a lot of them didn't make it. But they finally did make it, settled in the land, conquered the land, and now they have a king. His name's King Saul. And King Saul and his army is out to war with their enemies. And then there's this big enemy that is confronting Saul and the whole army of God. And David comes on the scene and hears this and says, you know, I can fight this giant. In fact, I will fight this giant. Because he looks at the giant as real tiny and God as real big. See, he was looking through the lens a different way than the children of Israel were. They were looking at how big Goliath was, and God was, and David was looking at how big God was. So verse 18, chapter 18, and oh, maybe I'm in 17, sorry. 17, okay. Verse 41. First the Philistine, the enemy of God, talks. It says, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over, and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Okay. Now, this is the next word. See, that was the Philistine's word to David. But really it was to God, because David, he wrote Psalm 91. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So David was in the shadow of the Almighty. He realized that. So those words that the Philistines said, when the enemy says words against you, realize that he's saying them against God. He's not saying them against you. He's saying them against God, because you are in him. All of us are in Christ. So here's David's response. This is David's Mark 11, 23 and 24. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." You notice he's not saying, you know, if I'm lucky to get a good shot in, a good clean shot, you're a goner. But I got to get that one clear shot. No, it's nothing relying on him and his own strength. He's doing what he believes God's calling him to do, and that's to stand up before the enemy. So he says, "This day will I hand you over, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So we already know that David was young and he wasn't experienced in war. So everybody on the Israelite side knew David was not a soldier. In fact, probably word was being spread, "Hey, he's a shepherd boy. Did you know he said he killed a lion and a bear?" You know, so they're watching this. They've got to be in like utter amazement. But when people see your faith and see God work and move, they will be in utter amazement, because God is the one performing the work and bringing glory to himself. So let's see what David did. It says, "As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran away." No, it says, "David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him." You know, that's when we use Mark 11, 23 and 24, and we're speaking to that mountain, we're not moving away from the battle, we're going to the battle. The battle is not David's. The battle is the Lord's. Okay, your job is to put your faith and trust in him. So I just love that. It's just like as Goliath moved closer, ho, 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 David was just like, "Yeah, I'm going." He ran toward him, not wasting time. Why should he? Because God's already given him the victory. Might as well get it over with. So David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the head. The stone sank into his forehead and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and struck down the Philistine and killed him. So, do you honestly believe that a stone that David hurled with his own strength killed the giant? You think God was involved? How much of that was God? Yeah. You know, so we take what we have. We take the tools and the giftings that God's given us. You know, those are the tools and giftings that God gave David. And he used them. And just like Moses, that staff was a tool that God gave him. He raises us up. the Red Sea splits. So whatever God has put in you, it says God has given to everybody gifts and measures and measures of faith and callings. You know, that's exciting. You know, every one of you has something from the Lord, and it's great. Good is the starting place for God, and every one of us has something great from the Lord. Okay, and we're breaking through and starting to realize and understand these things. We're not, in a lot of ways, we're shedding the things, we're throwing off the weights and the things that kind of encumber us in this life. You know, we're throwing off those things that want to take our time and steal us from things that God's calling us to do. You know, we're throwing off those things that steal God's glory, petty arguments and complaining and just living life like the rest of the world. So these are things that David trusted in. He trusted in his God, and he spoke what he was going to do. That was his Mark 11, 23 and 24. Hallelujah. So is that good? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, I think. But it's going to kind of go along with what we're talking about here. Okay. I'm going to grab a dry erase. I'm going to write something on this board here. Oh, thank you. Well, if you're expecting some great artwork tonight, you're not going to get it. So, but there are three positions that we can have with God. And there might be other words to describe these, but these are kind of some basic categories. Okay. All right. Okay, the three categories are Gentile, servant, and son. Okay. We look at poor Goliath. You know, what category would he fall in? Would he fall in the servant of God or son of God, or a Gentile, which represents he's outside the covenant of God? That's where he was. You know, and as all of us were too at one time. It says in Ephesians 3, where it says that we're outside the covenant of God at one time. So we were outside God's family. Even though God loved us, we weren't in his family yet. Okay, and then we have a servant, kind of the middle category. And I believe this is where David and Moses were. They knew the covenants of God. They responded to what God told them to do to stay in that covenant, but they knew they had an agreement with God. And in much of the Old Testament, they talk about the phraseology is like servants. We're servants of God. And we are too, in a way, because being a servant is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus came, he was a servant. And he even washed the disciples' feet, which is symbolic of us doing those little petty things in life for other people that nobody else wants to do. You know, it's taking the time to just do something. Wait an extra 10 seconds and open a door for somebody. You see somebody struggling with some groceries, you say, hey, can I give you a hand with that? You know, why would you want to waste your time with that? It's because we're servants of the Lord. We have Christ living inside of us. That's who we are. Okay, but in the New Testament, see, we're not operating in the old covenant anymore. You know, it's like, let's say we got a house. Okay, let's say I got a house. Let's talk about my mansion in heaven. I got a mansion in heaven. Let's say I've got a mansion here too. Okay, got a mansion here too. Okay, so I'm not going to let the Gentile in. I'm not going to let somebody I don't even know, that's not my friend, just come waltzing in my house and do whatever he wants to do. Okay, but if I have a servant, if I have somebody that I've hired in my employment that comes in, maybe they do cleaning, maybe they do bookwork, maybe they do painting, maybe they do whatever on the house. You know, they're allowed to be in there for a certain period of time. But if you're a son, if my son comes up to me, he doesn't even have to ask me if he can go in the house. He just goes in the house because he's the son. That's where all of us are. That's the status that Christ has raised us to. You know, Moses and David touched on it a little bit. You know, they were really looking through a veil. They had a covenant with God. Their covenant was very, very good. But we have a better covenant based on better promises. In fact, part of that covenant is the new birth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that exciting? You know, somebody was talking to me just a couple days ago and said, we're all sinners. And I just kind of thought, when was the last time I sinned? My focus wasn't on being a sinner. My focus was being a son. And how can you call us sinners when God recreated us? He's living inside of us. Now, do I sin? Yes. Okay. But there's forgiveness. You know, but that doesn't automatically place me back in that category. I'm walking by the flesh. Bible says if I walk by the flesh, that's death. If I walk by the Spirit, that's life. I've got to, and I'm learning, just like everybody else here is learning, to step over into the Spirit and listen to what He says and rein in those things that God wants me to rein in. Amen? All of us doing the same thing? We're working on that. This is serious business. You know, when we're tempted, we don't want to go into temptation. So God helps us. God assists us. And how do we overcome? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Why would you want to go before Jesus again and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing this. You value the blood of Jesus. You value your position of righteousness. That blood puts you in the right position with God. It says that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Isn't that exciting? We're seated with Him in heavenly places, not in the sweet by and by, but in authority, we have those things right now. That's what's so great about the new covenant is we're no longer in this category of Gentile. We'll always be wanting to serve the Lord, but we're now in the category of Son. So what does the Scripture say about this? It says, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and you can write these down, Galatians 4 through 6. Paul writes to the Galatian church and says, when the set time has fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Wow. God put all the implements in place, brought us into His family, put the Spirit of God inside of us, which is there to help and teach us, just to show us what we need to do. I think Pastor Gary said, I don't have to make another tough decision in my life. Now, the only reason he's saying that is because he's choosing, before he has to make a decision, he's saying, Basically, he's saying, I'm not going to make a decision until I know from the Lord what I need to do. And that's smart. It's smart. Lots of times, I know even before the situation comes what I need to do. Other times, I've got to just stop a minute and go, I need to think about this a little bit. But what I'm not really thinking mentally, I'm saying, Lord, I need some help here. And the Holy Spirit does give me the answer. The Holy Spirit does show me what to do. Okay, so Galatians 4:7, it says, wherefore you are no more a servant. Wow. This is not me. This is not Jeff's translation. It says we're no more a servant. A servant goes into the house for a period of time, gets the job done, and then leaves. It says you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, there's things I do in praise and worship. And there's things I do in my life, maybe witness to people. Sometimes I don't feel like doing any of these things. But it's like the Lord, the Holy Spirit just leads me to do something. And generally, freedom comes. You know, freedom will come as you obey the Lord. As you listen to Him and do those things He's called you to do. That freedom will come. Because you're saying, Lord, I'm listening to you. I'm your sheep. Meh, meh. And I'm listening to you. And He helps you. He helps you do those things He's called you to do. Ephesians 1:5 says, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Do you know, it's not like I walk up to Dennis and say, hey, Dennis, guess what? You're going to adopt me. All right? Well, you're very gracious. But it's not up to me to walk up to somebody and say, you're going to adopt me. Because that person may have a great estate, may have great authority, great power. And for me to walk up to them and say, guess what? I'm your new son. Pastor Shelley, guess what? I'm your new son. I'll be over for dinner tomorrow night. No, God chose us. He came to us and said, guess what? You're going to be my adopted daughter. And I forgot to mention that it says that there's neither bond nor free, Jew or Greek, male or female, you are all one in Christ. So, you know, when I say son, I'm not, and I think all of you know this, that I'm not excluding women just because I'm using the term son. It's a word of authority. It's a word of position. But it's a word of describing a beloved place you have with God. So, says He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Why is this so significant? Because when you are a son, you can go into the refrigerator without asking your dad. You know, when I was a kid, I was going through all my parents' drawers. You know, hey, let's see what's in here. Let's open my mom's jewelry drawer and look at all her jewelry. You know, I was into everything. And I didn't ask permission. And would they have gotten mad? Maybe initially, but I don't think they would have cared because I wasn't like taking a hammer and like destroying something or doing that. But it's that position that we're in. You know, that's what gives us the right and the authority to use Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, it's our position with Christ. It's not what we did to get there. It's what God did to put us there. You know, and these things, ask God to just reveal these things to you more. I mean, this, like you said, this is a new year. Let's say this is a new day. We, you know, exactly what Pastor Gary talked about earlier. I got coming over here. I was just thinking about the past and how I was bringing up things in the past. And it's just like God just like in my heart, I didn't hear a voice, but just in my heart, it was just like, it's like, you're limiting me. It says, I can provide abundance for you to make up for whatever you've lost in your past. So don't be there anymore. Keep going forward. This is a new day. This is a new time. You're not held back by anything in your past anymore. So as you walk with the Lord, you are free from it, but God will cause that freedom to become more of a reality in your life. Amen? We all want that. All right. Hebrews 2:9, it says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Wow. Thank the Lord. Thank Jesus. He tasted death for me. Because if he didn't taste death for me, I'd be tasting death. In bringing many sons and daughters, there's the daughters, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So both Jesus, who is holy, and who made you holy, you are all one of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call you a sister, because he made you holy and you are holy and he is holy. So there's not like this in the way. This is the law. This is the law that says that you're not right before God. He fulfilled that law for us. He says, get this out of the way. You're my sons and daughters. You're my brothers and sisters. You know, he broke down that wall, shattered it. 1 John 3:1-3 says, these are really awesome scriptures. It says, behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. You know, I'm encouraging every one of you, and this is what I'm learning too. I'm learning that I'm not sitting over here wondering if God is near me or if God is going to do something for me. Okay. Says that we're seated with him. In other words, he's close to us, we're close to him. He's through the work of the cross and salvation and being born again, that new birth, he's brought us together. We're never far away from God. We never have to go look past the heavens, look past the stars. Can you imagine the mountain of God and God sitting way up there? You know, and we sometimes get this impression that, yeah, God is aware of what's going on here, but he's up there. Oh, one day we're going to be up there and we can go in the presence of God and see his face. No, it says God is in us. Christ is in us. The third person of the Trinity is in us. Wow. You know, that was part of God's plan. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Amen? It says, I don't know if I finished reading this, but it says, behold, verse 2, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So what does that mean? That means that we do the things that the Lord calls us to do. We take the simple steps. We go to work. We're faithful at work. We're a blessing there. When we're around our family, we speak kind words, only if they speak kind words back to us. No, we speak kind words and we ask for God's grace to deal with situations that are not right, that aren't perfect. Okay, God gives grace to the humble. Okay, sometimes not saying anything is being humble. Sometimes smiling and just ignoring what somebody says and going on, because if you're praying for them, God's working in their heart. And they'll think about what they said and they'll go, wow, I was a jerk. How do I know that? Because it's happened to me. I'm like, I said something to somebody and then late at night I'm like thinking, boy, that was really stupid. I shouldn't have said that. So God is working with us and in us. And he's purifying us as we walk in this life. And he's helping us. So, all right, Revelations 21:7, it says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Hey, Phil, I got $1 million and you're going to inherit it all. You're going to inherit all things, everything. Well, my sons and daughters, I'm just going to keep a little bit back for myself. No, that's the way God is. Inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So, the full-blown reality of it, I grant it, is going to be when we're standing before the Lord. Okay, but that doesn't take anything away from what we have right now. We have the same thing right now. And that's why he says to rule and to reign in this life. Everybody here has a kingdom. Everybody here has a fiefdom. You know, the people that are in your sphere of influence, you're God's blessing to them. You're God's witness to them. Whatever he tells you to do. You know, I don't have to tell you to do anything. You know, why? Because the Holy Spirit's inside of you speaking to you those things. So, but I would encourage you that not in the sweet by and by, but now you are the children of God. Now you are the sons and daughters of the Lord. Is that good? Man, that is awesome. I would be thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for like several weeks now. It's just like it just hit me like a camp meeting. You know, and I'm like thinking, wow, was I walking around with a bag over my head, a spiritual bag over my head all these years? Did you ever hit a point where you go, wow, was I that ignorant? You know, and I'm growing. And I'll probably say the same thing. Hope I don't say the same thing 5 years from now. But God will reveal things to you, and he reveals himself to you. And as you come closer to him, you go, wow, you're like that? You have me in that position? You have me in that place? You're like this? It's just when you're getting close to the presence of God and you're in the presence of God, when you come here and worship, man, God is here. I mean, he's here already, but it's just like a super powerful anointing comes in here. And it just is here and doing something. And, you know, I don't understand it all, but I'm learning and I'm growing in him. And that's where we're all today. So, do you want me to pray and close things up? What? Did you want to say anything?
Yeah, or? I learned two.
All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we just open our hearts to you, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you. We thank you that we're not in that category of servant or Gentile anymore. We're in the category of son. And Lord, we thank you that we are your sons and daughters. We just thank you. We thank you that that's the reality that you've placed in our hearts and our lives. And Father, from this day forward, help us to learn and to grow in this knowledge and to fulfill the calling that you've called us to do. Father, we will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because our hearts want to follow you, because we love you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.